Just want to read a few chapters from a few verses, I should say, don't panic. A few verses from Joshua chapter 1. I'm sure if you're like me, we all have our favourite characters in the Bible, and one of the first books I read way back all these years ago was the book of Joshua, and I love seeing how God takes so many different people in the scriptures and how he can put his hand upon them and use them. So we're going to read Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1 probably down to the end of verse 11. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And then if you just turn over to chapter 5, chapter 5 of Joshua, and there from verse 13. Now it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. I wonder what sort of memories you've got. How are your memories? Yes, as you get a bit older, your memory's not so good, and you begin to forget things, and you're not as quick and as sharp as you used to be. And tonight I'd just like us to look briefly at Joshua and this situation that God puts him into. And if you want a heading, I would say that remembrance, when you remember, that's when you get your reassurance. And it's through remembering that Joshua got his reassurance. For here we find Joshua. He comes to a major crossroads in his life or career, if you want to put it that way. In verse 2, we find that Moses, my servant, is dead. And what does God say to Joshua? Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Suddenly we find that Joshua is right up front. Moses is gone. And here he finds himself there with over a million people and all their animals and their belongings. They're all probably now looking to him because Moses is gone. These people, they were nomads. We know that they had no home, they had no land or country. And here we find that Joshua is suddenly looking ahead. What am I going to do? And there in front of him, what does he see? First of all, he sees the River Jordan. And then beyond that, as he looked over, there was Jericho. I wonder what was going through Joshua's mind at this particular time. I'm sure, especially for myself and many of us here, suddenly thrown into a situation like that, there would be a bit of a panic, perhaps a lot of panicking, wondering, how can I do this? What am I going to do? And what was it that God had then asked Joshua to do? What was Joshua expected to do? What was God saying to him? It is now your responsibility. Simple. To take the people and to go in and conquer the land of Canaan. A simple and easy task, you might think. But when you turn to chapter 3 and verse 10, you find that he's got to go in there and he's got to conquer the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. An easy task. Well, we all know that when God puts his hand on someone and expects them to go out and serve him, how gracious is God? Because God always provides, doesn't he? He always provides. And what did he give Joshua? Well, he simply gave him his word. In chapter 1, verse 8, we've just read, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." There's a challenge for each one of us. It is by reading and by studying the Word of God. And here we would have found Joshua thinking about Moses. He would have known Moses for many years. He would have seen how God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And all the way, God was there. And Moses walked and he talked with God at all times. Moses trusted in God explicitly, didn't he? And so this book of the law was the very core of Moses' leadership. And now God is saying to Joshua, "It's yours. This book of the law is what you must follow." But would he be able to maintain the standards and the faith that Moses had? You see, it's always much better when there's somebody else to take the final decision, isn't it? It's always so much easier when you're part of the group, when there is somebody else that has to make that step to take us forward. And so what about ourselves? Do we often find that so often in life that we find it hard to take that step, that simple step of trust and faith to go forward? Well, we're even better off than what Joshua was, aren't we? We have the Word of God. In fact, we've got more because we've got the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the same God. And we have the same opportunities, don't we? But you know, when you think of Joshua and others, and I said to you earlier, I love to read how God puts his hand on these great saints of God and how God takes their life and how they can use them. How encouraging it is, isn't it? Both in the scriptures and also when we're reading many books and we've had many people stand up and give book reviews, and how we've been encouraged and challenged by the wonderful way in which God takes and uses these people. So God can use us, and God through encouraging us to remember how he has blessed us thus far, that he will go forward with us. But when we look into the scriptures, and when we look at past generations, not everyone finds it's an easy life, an easy path in which to follow. When we think of people like Whitfield, for instance, and if you read about his life and career, he was thrown out of his churches, wasn't he? He was set upon. He preached in the open air. Or even when we look in the scriptures and we take, for instance, Samuel, a great man of God in the Old Testament. And yet, what do we find the word of God telling us at Samuel's time? It says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open revelation, and the priests were corrupt and deceitful. And what do we see around us now when we look in the world to see what's happening? The world, more and more, is turning away from the things of God. And even sad to say that many churches seem to be more into secularism than teaching and preaching the word of God. So how do we make the word of God work for us? How did Joshua make God's word be what he needed? His help, strength, his support, his help to go forward. Well, when you go into the New Testament, I think of that verse in Revelation 1 verse 3, when it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. So how do we make God's word work for us? Well, in that verse it tells us that we need to read the word of God. It tells us too, secondly, that we need to hear the word of God. We need to listen to it, don't we? And we need to live it. Or as I would say, look, learn, and live. It's when we look into the scriptures, when we learn the scriptures, when we memorize the scriptures, when we live according to the scriptures, that is when God touches our lives and will use us as he would take Joshua and take him forward. But you know, it's so often when we start to remember, isn't it, when we face difficulties, we are drawn to a passage of scripture. And Joshua, I would imagine here, was beginning to think, how did God deal with Moses? And it's that aspect I'd like us to think on and concentrate on tonight. When we're facing the difficulties that lie before us, when something crops up when we least expect it, it is what God has done to give us his assurance that he's always with us that gives us the confidence to keep going forward. When we call to mind what God has done in the past, the assurance that God has given us, the difficulties that we've already been through, that God has been gracious to us and blessed us, and he has kept us. And so I like us to think that here we find Joshua grasping at every thought of faith that he could muster to give him that encouragement to go forward. He would be clinging to the word of God and how it worked for Moses. He would be searching in his mind for all its promises, isn't it? Every promise in the book of mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. And these words from the scriptures and words from hymns so often come and they give us that encouragement, don't they? And here was Joshua, he was an army man. And God always deals with us according to what he knows about us. He knows what sort of characters we are. And here was Joshua. Joshua was an army man. He was the commander of the army. He was, in a sense, Moses' second in command. And so when we read in verse 9, God gives him a bit of a jolt, doesn't he? When he says to him, have I not commanded you? He didn't say, didn't I tell you? He said, have I not commanded you? It's a commandment he's given to Joshua. And as an army man, he would have taken note. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. God was giving him that assurance. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua must have looked across the Jordan and at Jericho, and he said, "Wherever I go, Lord?" "Yes, Joshua, wherever your foot goes, I've told you, I will be with you. But Lord, have you seen this Jordan River that I've got to cross over?" "Joshua, wherever you go, whatever you have to do, I will be with you." And he must have thought, "Well, if we get across this Jordan River, look at this Jericho." And when we think in the New Testament, when Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, and Paul was facing a similar situation, and Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for all your needs." And Paul would have been saying, "But Lord, what about my grace is sufficient for all your needs?" But did Moses ever to face anything like this? Joshua must have thought, how did Moses conquer these challenges? And there had been many. If you look back, you would have seen there were many, many challenges. Well, that's when remembering starts to bring in reassurance, doesn't it? Because there was Moses, and where was he? He had a similar situation when he had to cross over the Red Sea, back there in Exodus 14. They'd come out of Egypt. They had camped between the mountains and the sea. And they had been there long enough for Pharaoh to take stock of what had been happening. And Pharaoh had suddenly realized they had gone. And he got his chariots and he came after them. And there was that situation where there was might have been panic with Moses, because he was blocked by the mountains, the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh and his chariots were coming. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, God told Moses what to do, didn't he? In Exodus 14:13, he said to him, "Do not be afraid." And that's what he said to Joshua. What did he tell Moses to do? He said simply this: "Stand still and see the salvation that the Lord will accomplish for you this day. For the Lord will fight your battles and you will hold your peace." Perhaps when we face difficulties, we say, "But Lord, why do you get us into this position in the first place? You've promised us you're going to help us, you're going to guide us, you're going to give us your word, you're going to give us your assurance. So why do we get into these difficulties?" Well, perhaps God would be testing you and me just the same way as he tested Moses and he was testing Joshua. Because when you go into chapter 3 of Joshua in verse 7, and Joshua had asked God that very thing, "Why do you get me into this pickle in the first place?" he said, "That you may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." You see, there was a reason for that. Joshua had to build his own faith. He had to develop his own faith and trust in God. He had to prove God for himself. You can't live on someone else's experience. You can't live your life because someone else has got a strong faith. How we look at other people and how we often say, "Wow, I wish I had a faith like they have." We have to develop it. We have to build on it. And that's what God was doing with Joshua. He was getting Joshua to stop and to think and to commit himself to studying God's word and following God's commands so that he could build up his own faith. But you see, now the training was over. Now the standing at the side was over. There was no more Moses to turn to. And sometimes, as we get older and we see people taken home to be with God in glory, who do we turn to? We can only turn to God, can't we? But we're thankful that God has brought us into a family of his people. We can share, we can talk together, we can encourage one another, and we can have that wonderful support. Yes, sometimes we feel as if we're on our own. Sometimes we feel as if I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But when the day comes and passes by, we can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for being gracious to us. But what are these familiar words? Did Moses have to struggle the same way as Joshua? Well, the more we look back in Exodus 4, we find that Moses had the same problems, didn't he? And we often think, there must be something wrong with my Christian faith. I can't seem to grasp it. Other people seem to grasp it, but I can't. Well, in Exodus 4, we find that Moses had the same problem when God came to Moses and said, I want you to go and lead my people. He says, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm no good at this, Lord. I'm the last person you want to do this work. And what does God say to Moses then? He said, and who has it that made your mouth? I made mouths. He says, go and I will be your mouth and I will teach you what to say. You see, God always provides for us. God gives us the ability when God wants us to do something. And when we face a difficulty or a situation, trials or whatever it might be, God always gives us the grace and the ability to get through it. And again, we find later on that Moses come back to God and he says, but my Lord, please send by your hand whoever else you may send, but don't send me. This is not for me. And later on in Exodus 5, he gets to the point where even Moses says, Lord, why have you brought these troubles on this people? And why is it you have sent me to sort them out? He struggled the same way, didn't he? And so we find in Scripture these great men and women of God that we always think God seems to have taken them and lifted them up and given them some greater faith than we have. Yet they too had to go through this. And they had to develop and test God and prove him for themselves. They had to build their own faith. Yes, these great saints of men. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That is the secret, isn't it? That we read the word of God, that we study the word of God, we learn it, and we seek to read it and to live it in our Christian lives. Does God himself not say to us, when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you? And I'm sure many of us can say when we are constantly reading the scriptures, we just feel God's hand upon us. But when we get so carried up with life that we're not reading the scriptures and we're not spending as much time in prayer as we should, then we find that things go wrong, don't they? So remembering these things, I could imagine that Joshua would begin to encourage his own soul. He was beginning to get that confident as he could remember how God had dealt with Moses and how God would help him. And so when we stop and think of it, what was it that God said to him? What did God say to Moses in that difficult situation? Well, when we look at Exodus 14:13, it says, do not be afraid. That was the first thing he said, wasn't it? Don't be afraid. Have you noticed how often throughout Scripture words like that appear? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. Yea, I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with my glorious right hand. Be not afraid, for I am your God. Have no anxieties about anything. How often do we find in Scripture that God is telling us, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Do not rely on your own insight. Commit your way unto the Lord, and he will direct your paths. So there was that first part. He tells both Joshua, as he told Moses, do not be afraid. But then it gets a little bit more difficult and complex, doesn't it? Because what was the next thing he said to Moses? Stand still. Stand still. Isn't that the last thing you want to do when you're in a situation? When something happens, you don't stop. You either pace around. You want to be on the move. You want to talk to somebody. You want to share it with someone. You want to find the way forward. You want to find the answer. Wait on the Lord. That's what that's saying. Stand still. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what God was telling him. Stand still. Wait on God. Get into your quiet place. Open the scriptures and seek God. And then he goes on to stand still and see. See what? To see how God was going to answer. See how God was going to lead and how God would guide, even in the most difficult situation. And then he goes on to say, what were you to see? What was Moses to see? The salvation that the Lord will accomplish for you today. Now this is not salvation. We have that permanent salvation. This is down as daily deliverance. This is what we face day by day. That is the salvation that God is talking about there. It's new every morning, it's new. The love of Jesus Christ is wonderfully new, isn't it? So whatever we face day by day, God says he will see us through. It's daily deliverance. To see the salvation that the Lord will accomplish for you. For the Lord will fight for you. Do we sit back and allow God to deal with our situation? Can we let go and let God have his wonderful way? How difficult that is. I'm talking about myself here. And you will hold your peace. Now there's the last part there. You will hold your peace. How long can you keep silent when you're facing a difficult situation? Nehemiah was faced with a difficult situation, and he prayed and kept his thoughts to himself for 4 months before he spoke out. He prayed, he fasted, he meditated, he sought God for 4 months before he even shared it with anyone else. There's a challenge to us, isn't it? Hold our peace when we face to pray, to search the scriptures, and seek God's grace and mercy for us. And then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? He said, go forward, take Israel forward. And that was the step of faith. And that was the step of faith that God gave to Joshua when he said to him, have I not commanded you? Go forward. And we know what happens when we read the passage. It was only when the first priest put his foot into the Jordan River, that's when the waters parted. A step of faith. And that is the last challenge I think we have tonight. That step of faith, trusting in God, that he does hear and he does answer our prayers. And just to sum up, I just share that note with you as well, that you notice that when Moses saw the burning bush and he turned aside and God said to him, take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And that passage in chapter 5 that we read, he said the same to Joshua when he saw the captain of the Lord's army, because the place where he was in holy ground. Yes, the Lord was going to fight his battles. The Lord was going to be his strength. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and wonderful things that you never knew. And yes, it's true, isn't it? When we remember God's grace and mercy to us in the past, then does that not give us reassurance that he will see us through whatever we're facing now? Amen.